5:00, we're called to order the meeting of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council on December 18th at 11 a.m. We will start with a pledge of allegiance by Mr. Carl Baker.
Please rise, place your hand over your heart, and begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we will take roll call. Who will be taking roll call?
Jenna will do that.
What's your name again?
Jenna.
Jenna. Go ahead, Jenna.
Carl David.
Here.
Eric Wayne. David Hahn.
Here.
Richard Lumber. Robert McDonald. Mario Munoz. Ray Rath.
Here.
Dale Stockter.
Here.
We do not have quorum.
We do not have a quorum. With that, we will continue to agenda item four with his public comments. Do we have any public comments today?
No, we do not receive any.
We should have one.
Were you going to speak?
Did the census people want to talk?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we need a...
Oh, you need that to fill up?
Yes.
Okay.
You can fill it out after you're done.
Awesome.
Get through the camps.
All right, let's hear it.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We have many familiar faces. We've met at, I believe, Mission Viejo Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
So my name is Lale Mafai. I'm a partnership specialist with United Census Bureau, United States Census Bureau, and I have Ms. Farnaz Rahimi here as well, one of our team members in Orange County. So why are we here? We're here to speak to the Honorable Advisory Council to raise awareness in regard to the upcoming census. As you know, every 10 years, mandated by our Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, we cover the entire country and count everyone who lives in the United States. What are these results are good for? Well, it's power and it's money. So every our results every 10 years determines how many seats of representation each state receives in the House of Representatives. For example, in 2010, based on our 2010 decennial census results, California was able to remain in the House of Representatives with 53 seats out of 435 seats. However, for example, in comparison, states Texas gained 4 seats, while Ohio and New York each lost 2 seats. So it is about also directly affecting our electoral votes. It is about funding. Over $675 billion of funding annually for the next 10 years will be determined how they are distributed down to states and cities and directly to local communities, many vital programs that need these federal funding, such as social services, such as Medicare, how many schools need to be built, roads, hospitals, how many teachers should be hired, and free lunch for kids, right? So these are the main reasons out of many that we want everyone to know how important census is. So we are currently in our education and awareness phase where we reach out to cities and organizations, for-profit, non-profit, to connect and build that strong relationship, because we believe although census happens nationally, it happens here locally. And we need the strong engagement from organizations, trusted voices within our community to raise awareness. As simple as it sounds, it's a massive effort to raise awareness and let everyone know within our community the census is coming, it's important, and it's easy. The census, the decennial census, are about 10 questions. It will ask about name, birth date. Birthdays, birth dates to not duplicate information, and also it asks for, it goes basically to each address. So how does this happen? We will have the option, three ways to self-respond: online, in traditional paper form, and also a phone. We also like to let every organization know and pass it on that we are hiring. We need everyone's help to hire qualified personnel to be able to conduct our enumeration while the time comes. They can start applying right now. They have to be 18 years of age and older, and pass a background check. We have full-time
Your time is up.
Your time's up.
Just please wrap it up.
Oh,
your time is up. You only get 3 minutes.
I thought you said 3 minutes.
No,
yeah,
you get four.
Okay, so I have left my business card. I would love to take everyone's business card who needs to, would like to connect with me, and then please connect me with organizations so I can reach out to them as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other public comments?
No.
All right, with that, we'll go to executive committee report. I have nothing. We'll go to number six, action item. Discuss and vote on council. We can't vote. Discuss council meeting date and time changes.
Since we can't vote, can I open the discussion? I know it's Dale's motion to get it on the agenda.
Sure.
Because we've had this discussion ongoing for several meetings and months, I suggest that each of the council members go to their individual supervisor, have a direct discussion with that supervisor, and report back for the real discussion, which will occur at the next meeting when we have a quorum, and get feedback from the supervisors what their druthers are and what their guidance is for our meeting dates and time changes and that sort of thing. Because I know it resulted from you guys and Rich and you and Mario going to see your supervisor, and you have good information from there. But I think we ought to also encourage Dwayne, Eric, Dwayne, and Dave, you go to your supervisor, Greg, you as well, and get direct feedback so that we can come back and have a report back from each of the supervisors on what their thoughts and guidance is.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Can
I have actually talked to my supervisor. She's comfortable wherever we want to meet, when we want to meet, where we want to meet.
Yeah.
And that's Lisa Bartlett. So.
And if I could just add one thing, that the OCFAC bylaws require that the operation be at no cost to the county except for normal clerical and administrative support. So having meetings after regular business hours will be a problem, because that would incur additional administrative costs and facility costs.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question about that? Because in the past there was flex time given where the person either came in two hours late or... did that go away?
Well, all of our employees are governed by employee unions, and the unions don't allow us to change people's schedule without proper notification and notice. So there are things that are required when that occurs.
Dale, you brought this up, so what's your thoughts?
I brought it up, put it on as an agendized item, because like Carl had said, Mario and Eric and I had both talked to Supervisor Doe, and I believe it was Mario brought it up because of his issues being a coach, and it's difficult for him to make these meetings. And Supervisor Doe was at a loss. He didn't understand. The meetings had always been what they had been before. They were in the evenings, 5, 6 o'clock, varied places. And he goes, well, I thought that was the purpose of the advisory council, as an outreach, to get into these different organizations, to let them know, and to report back to the supervisors on Veterans Affairs. And he was under the understanding that there was flex time, that he goes, I have other committees, other commissions that work under this premise. I'm on other commissions throughout the city and the county, and we have our meetings at different times, mm-hmm. different places. And I think it's as a commission, at our convenience to do the best job we can do as far as outreach and getting into the different organizations that can be a benefit to the veterans. So that's why I brought it up. Mario's having issues. I know he expressed it to Supervisor Doe. I'm retired. It's not an issue to me.
So you're looking to bring it back to the evenings?
To what we had before, and that's you know.
And you're saying it's because of the union, it's not possible?
No, not within the current bylaws.
Yeah.
And this has been vetted through county council.
For how long has it been that it was in the evenings, and then all of a sudden, just recently, it was changed to that it had to be this time?
Yeah, you're correct.
We weren't abiding by the bylaws, basically. How about you, David? What's your take?
I don't care either way.
I don't either. I'm retired. I can do anything, but I do understand people work all during the day.
So it limits the people that are available to be on this commission. You know, it's what you get is retired people.
I can say
or get attendees.
Before,
yeah, and there's no attendees.
Before I got on the committee or on the council, I tried to come to a couple of meetings as just a regular veteran, and it was difficult to find the right place, the right time.
Right.
The information that's on the website is wrong. It says
right.
It's here and it's not here.
Right.
And you know, it was just more difficult to get to. I only successfully made it to one other meeting.
Yeah, I had trouble. Like when we had it up in Cyprus, I mean, it takes forever. If you have it down in Mission Bay, it takes forever. People that live north, and that was an issue. But I kind of lived with it because I was, you know, happy to serve. But I do know the time. And this is perfect for me at the time, but because there's no traffic. But I am open to whenever we decide. But if it's the bylaws, we can't change it. Can we change the bylaws or?
You have the ability to suggest that the bylaws are changed. The Board of Supervisors has the ultimate authority.
Who's the new chairperson? They vote on it yesterday?
No, it's usually the first meeting of the new year.
Okay, I thought it was yesterday. Okay. So we'll table this till January, and when we have a quorum and Bobby's back, and then if you can continue to work with council and figure out, say, hey, some guys are having issues coming here because of the time frame. That's all I ask. Okay.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll move to, we'll table the next item too, because Councilman Munoz, we did this twice when I've been on council. We met with Long Beach, and we kind of met halfway at Long Beach Hospital. It was kind of cool. We had a co-meeting, but I guess that's not in the bylaws either. Is that an issue?
I think we can do it if it's a special.
6B.
We declare it as a special meeting, I think.
Yeah.
It's just as long as we're within the bylaws that we meet in during normal business hours, there would be no additional cost.
Okay. So we'll table 6A and 6B till our January 15th meeting. And we'll now move to 7, agenda item 7, which is your update. Dave, Carl.
The collaborative was dark in November as well. They had a couple of committee meetings, but like the employment committee and a couple of others. But I don't have anything to report there from the collaborative because they were dark in November.
Okay, Eddie here?
He's not here.
Okay. So is anybody from OCVSO going to update?
No.
Okay. We'll go to agenda item 9, OC for Vets update. Kevin?
Sure. We have, let's see. For November, we connected with approximately 120 veterans and military-connected individuals. We had a few things happen that were unique for November and into beginning of December here. The OC for Vets has taken on an additional task related to the Santa Ana Veterans Village project. There are 20 apartments set aside within the Veterans Village project that are going to be permanent supportive housing for individuals who qualify under the MHSA kind of umbrella, so individuals who are severely and persistently mentally ill. So our team is doing assessments and evaluations to determine whether the veterans qualify for these additional supports and services and help them get connected to through the CRRC and through the housing authorities so that we can get them into these permanent supportive apartments there on the Veterans Village campus in Santa Ana once that opens up in about February. So we're managing that, and then
that opens in February.
Yeah, that's slated to open in mid-February for now. And as we get closer, I'm sure we may run into some bumps, and but we're expecting mid-February.
What was that percentage?
The number of units?
Yeah.
20.
20.
Yeah. So it'll be 56 regular units, 20 permanent supportive housing units.
Great.
That are a combination of the HUD-VASH and the MHSA housing.
Is that a lengthy verification and vetting process?
So in order to identify someone as eligible for permanent supportive housing under the MHSA umbrella, typically these would be individuals who are engaging in services with higher levels of care throughout our county, some county clinics, our PAC teams, our FSPs, really those elevated levels of intervention within our county system of care and support. So OCD vets, we're not set up to be to provide that intensive level of intervention. So our goal with these individuals is to identify them within the community so that if they're not already receiving psychiatric services and care, we can review their clinical documents. We have to do a full psychological assessment evaluation to determine whether they would meet criteria for SPNY. So we're doing that psychological evaluation, going through the application process and helping them move through this application process, which is extensive. We're sitting down with each veteran for about 3 hours for that assessment process and that application process and moving them through it. It's extensive. The veterans have been wonderful, very patient and engaged. And of course, we are fully staffed now. So all our peers are in place, all of our clinicians are in place, which is fantastic. But that helps because now we have more people who can engage and support veterans, get out to with them, over to CRC, help them through that application process or on the HUD-VASH side, because now it's two separate application processes. Help them get all their documentation in order, get through their orientation meetings. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And we're talking about homeless veterans, so transportation, making sure the basic needs are met while they're going through this process, supporting with that, making sure that we now working wardrobes under the new contract for the peer support services, they have a vehicle that's available to them, so they're actually able to get out into the community and provide transportation to the veterans to get to the appointments, make sure they get where they need to go, make sure they remember their appointments. it's an active process. Takes up quite a bit of time. I actually have one clinician really identified and running with this full time. But it's working and it's good so far. We've identified 5 veterans who meet criteria and we completed the applications for all 5 of them. And we're getting them with the CRC and making sure that they're getting approved for HUD-VASH and get the application for San Diego Veterans Village.
Are you the only agency doing those screenings?
We are the only agency doing the behavioral health screenings and the SPNY screenings, because it really the MHSA funds are all coordinated through county. So as a county behavioral health program specializing in veteran support, we're probably best suited to support these veterans. Long term, we don't provide that type of intervention, so we're not there for long term support, but we make sure they get connected with the resources that they need and help engage with them and help them stay motivated for.
I know I'm taking a lot of questions, but one last one. Is St. Ann Village the only one doing that set aside?
For now. It is the only.
Of the 5, right?
That I'm aware of at this time. It is the only housing project that we have that has a partnership between HUD-VASH and MHSA.
Thank you.
Let's see, the other thing we did, partnered with Strong Families, Strong Children, and Outside the Wires, so our other county contracted programs for veterans. We had groups come in, community groups come in offering Thanksgiving meals, so turkeys and all the fixings for Thanksgiving for veterans and veteran families. So between the three programs, we were able to, which I think there were about 50 meals that we provided to any families. And then we had another group in the community provide Christmas trees. And they provided 70 Christmas trees for our veterans. And between, again, in coordination with these other programs, we were able to get 70 veteran families connected with Christmas trees this year.
Cool. So, very good.
Yeah.
That's great. Anything else?
We started a Tuesday morning group here on site, actually in this room mostly, to provide a resource group for veterans. So to sit down with veterans who are waiting for the BSO and to pull in other veterans for the community who aren't aware of resources outside of the BSO and the veteran system that are available for them and their families. So we bring them in, have a conversation about how to connect to these resources, what their needs may be, so we can kind of provide effective direction and support. It's been an active group. We've had about 20 veterans each Tuesday morning for this group.
Really good.
Yeah.
That is good, yeah. Very good.
Good. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. What I will say, we're doing this actually in partnership with the BSO, and it's been a fantastic partnership, and it's really, really working well.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's their day. They have their morning meetings. They open up a little bit later. So we capture all of their veterans that are waiting for the BSO and make sure they are supported and entertained, and we're working with an expedited process for check-in. So, since they're waiting a little longer, we make sure they kind of move through a little quicker and try to help out. And it's been fantastic.
Nice. Has that cut down the wait time?
We don't open until 9:30 on Tuesday.
Oh, on Tuesday. Got it.
So many people aren't aware that we open later.
There's no impact other than there is impact. Yeah, got it. Good job.
They at least can use their time wisely.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, sir. We'll move to item 10. Ben Gales is not here, so we'll go to 11. Communications report. Carl?
Very, very short. I've gotten almost everybody's input for all the November events that throughout all of the community that every one of you went to. I'm not sure I got them all, but I'm going to compare it with David's event calendar and just see what I don't have, and I'll be reaching out to individually because, you know, the mind's a terrible thing to waste. So like, I'll use your event list as the, if you will, the master list, and then work off of it to make sure, because it, as you know, our annual report starts to be taking shape in January, so I want to close everything out and get all of that done, and before January hits us, and I'm responsible for putting together the thing for the whole council. So if you can think of anything you've forgotten to get me, and if not, I'll be reaching out to everybody individually. That's it.
Okay, agenda item 12, David Holm. Events committee report. You have anything to report?
Okay. Quite a few, or there are fewer events for December than there were for November, obviously, with Veterans Day. The only two events remaining for December that I have on the schedule, tonight is the Turney Center for Veterans Affairs or Veteran Services Holiday Open House, starting at 5:30 and going to 8:00. And then Friday, the Cypress Army Recruiting Station grand opening. That's at 3:30 p.m. in Cypress, just across from Cypress College. And that's all I have, sir.
Okay, then we'll move to council comments. Dale, you got anything to add?
I'm very pleased that City of Garden Grove finally had its first annual inaugural Veterans Day event. Bobby was there as the MC. We had Congressman Correa there as the main speaker. Congressman Lowenthal was there. We had Supervisor Doe was there. No, I'm sorry, Supervisor Doe was not there. He had to cancel last minute. but we had the entire city council and the mayor. Tyler Depp was there, the assemblyman. So a big group of politicians showed up to give their support. We must have had 50, 60 veterans. Congressman Correa gave out a veteran's pin to every Vietnam veteran. He has a pin that he has set up. So it was nice, small, intimate Veterans Day event that the city has never had in its history. And I was glad to see that came forward.
Very nice. David?
The only thing that I have is for the Santa Ana Veterans Village, can we schedule a tour, if you will?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Reach out to Jamboree Housing.
Yeah, once it's up and running, we'd like to.
That would be cool.
Check it out.
Yeah. They made a lot of progress on the building itself, so there's something to see right now. So they would like to be they'd likely be open to showing you around and giving you a tour. So.
Okay.
Carl?
One quick thing, we had the Santa's Village on the Joint Force Training Base last weekend, and it was well attended with veterans and National Guard and Reserve folks. The second thing is VSO is at our place in Los Alamitos on Thursday, tomorrow, and he continues to do good work there and meeting a lot of veterans. So my compliments to him coming all that way. It does a lot of good, and a lot of people are there's like 2 or 3 months backlog of people making appointments. So continue that program, hopefully. So well done on that one. And that's it.
Thank you. I attended our Mission Viejo Veterans Day event, and that was attended by Supervisor and Chairwoman Lisa Bartlett and our Assemblyman Bill Breaux. And then I also, that same day, I went to El Toro Memorial Park for the Veterans Day in Lake Forest. And then just last week, we had Wreaths Across America. There are 1,500 cemeteries across America that they put wreaths on veterans' graves. And I went to El Toro Memorial Park. There's actually one guy there who's a veteran of the Civil War, which is pretty neat. So we put a marker on his. But it was well attended. About 150 people were there. I was one of the guest speakers. So. But now we're going to head for Christmas and New Year's, and we're going to take the month to be with our friends and family, and we will adjourn till January 15th at 11.
Sure. Can I just introduce you to some of the new staff members?
Sure.
This is Jenna Sergio. She's been with the department for several years. However, she just accepted a leadership role. She's now a manager with the department, and she'll be taking over the support for all of our advisory councils, this being one of four that she will be managing. So you'll see Jenna at each and every meeting. The agenda will come from her. She'll be doing the postings. Everything will be consistent with all of the advisory councils. So just to give you an example, we'll have a page that lists each advisory council, and then it has their picture, and the pictures will be consistent with the others and the backgrounds, and she'll post the minutes. The audio will be posted to a general site, and so we'll try to move things forward this coming year when it comes to management of the council. And we have Carissa Marietta. She'll be providing support staff in various areas of the department, so you'll see Carissa around, and you'll also see her covering if Jenna was to be absent on a particular day.
Yeah. Well, welcome, and usually there's many more people here, but obviously with 1 week till Christmas, people are out trying to get last minute goodies, so welcome aboard. Thank you. With that, then,
Vice Chairman, please. I just want to make sure the item that I had on the agenda will be brought forward.
We will put it back.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Table.
So the people that are here can have an input into that.
We'll table both the 6A and B to next month.
Thank you.
With that, we're adjourned till January 15th, 11 o'clock. Here. See, half hour.
Thank you.
Good job.
Plus, no more.